We do welcome you this evening to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, to our gospel service, and trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in his name tonight. And wherever you're linking into the service, we trust that the Lord will bless you tonight. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, O God, that we can come to thee tonight at the close of this thine own day. And we pray for thy blessing upon us as we meet together. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, that every listener will hear the voice of God tonight. And grant, Lord, that thy word will be written upon every heart. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. If you have a hymn book there with you, will you turn? I'm just going to read this hymn to you. It's relevant to the message that we will bring later on in our service tonight. It's hymn number 90 in our hymn book, page 212. If you have a hymn book there, then you can turn to it just now. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame, cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who was the friend of sinners seeks thee, lost one, now. Sinner, come, and at his footstool penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more, speaks to thee that word of pardon, as in days of yore. Him who pardoned erring Peter, never needst thou fear. He that came to faithless Thomas, all thy doubts will clear. He who let the loved disciple on his bosom rest, bids thee still with love as tender, lean upon his breast. He who mid the raging billows walked upon the sea, still can hush our wildest tempest, as in Galilee. He who wept and prayed in anguish in Gethsemane drinks with us each cup of trembling in our agony. As of old he walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's way he walketh ever near our side. Soon still shall we behold him. Hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity and privilege of meeting in thy name tonight. Lord, let us know the circumstances of these times. But Lord, thou art in control of all of that. And Lord, we come to thee tonight and pray for thy presence in our gospel service. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt speak to every waiting heart. We pray that hearts will be opened tonight to hear the message of thy precious word. And we pray that there'll be those tonight who will hear that their souls might live. There'll be those tonight who will incline their ear and hear the gospel and be gloriously and wonderfully and eternally saved. We pray for those who are backslidden, who would hear the message tonight. We pray that they'll be drawn back into a close walk and fellowship with thee and restored to the joy of thy salvation. We pray for the people of God who will hear the word tonight. It will be a word of strengthening, a word of encouraging to their hearts. And we pray, Lord, that each of us who know thee will be built up in our most holy faith, that in these days of great challenge, in this world in which we live, that we might be drawn closer to the wounded side of our Savior. Father, we ask of thee that thou wouldst come tonight. Bless every detail of this service, that there will be nothing of man, nothing of a preacher, but everything of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will be uplifted, that he will be extolled, that he will be exalted, and that he will be glorified tonight. And, O God, we pray that across this land and across this world, men and women, boys and girls, will be moved upon by the Holy Spirit And this land, O God, will be moved upon by the Holy Spirit, that in every city and town and village and hamlet, there may be the moving of thy Holy Spirit upon individuals, upon families, upon communities. And O God, that many will be the slain of the Lord. Bless this land at this time of pandemic. We pray that thou wilt, O God, cause the infection rate to be reduced. Cause the hospital numbers to be reduced. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst answer prayer for those who are ill with this virus, that they may be recovered if it be thy will. For those who have lost loved ones through it, that thou wilt comfort them and help them at this time. Remember all our hospital workers, our doctors, our nurses, all who work in hospital care and care homes and care in the community. Those key workers at this time, we pray that thou wilt keep them safe and that thou wouldst bless them and meet their need. And grant that thy hand will be upon our government too. Give them wisdom in all decision making. The right decisions may be made at this time. Lord, we commend our situation to thee. And look to thee, the God who is in control, to answer prayer in these difficult times. We ask of thee, Father, that you remember every family of our church too, the needs of each one at this time. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt meet every individual, every family, at the point of their need. We pray for those who have sickness. Pray for healing and restoration. Especially remember our sister Isabel Gilmer tonight in the hospital. We pray for Isabel that thou wilt touch her. Lord, that thou wilt heal her and that thou wilt restore her to wanted health and strength. Thank you for others that thou hast been ministering to. Lord, even through times of sickness. Others who are waiting on results, even on surgery and procedures and consultations. That thou wilt be with them at this time and that thou wilt meet their every need. May they know a sense of thy presence and thy nearness in these days. Lord, remember thy work across our churches and everywhere the gospel is truly preached this night. We pray, Lord, that a great work will be done. The spirit of prayer will prevail among thy people. The work of God will progress. Remember every aspect of the life of the church. Some aspects haven't been able to resume, and others, maybe in a different form, have been able to link in. We pray that, O God, thou wilt answer prayer. Remember the boys and girls of the Sunday school, children's meeting, and Lord Awana, and youth reach, and youth fellowship. We thank thee, O God, for all of these. Remember our mums and tots group as well. Undertake, Lord, for our work in the nursing homes and every aspect of the life of the church. We pray that, Lord, soon we will get back to normal. And, O God, be able to have all the services that we usually have convened. Lord, we look to thee to answer prayer. Bless us in these days. Bless us in this meeting tonight. May thy presence fill this house. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together from the Word of God tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Reading together from the verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse number 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has saith, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, infallible word to all of our hearts. We do bid you welcome again in the Lord's name, and we trust that God will bless our coming together even tonight for his honor and for his glory. Wherever you're listening in, whatever device you're using tonight to listen to the service, we trust you will be blessed in your own soul this evening. Could I mention, on Wednesday night we have our prayer meeting and Bible study online, and we're continuing in our Bible study in the survey of the New Testament. And this week's study is in 1 Timothy, and that's followed by a season of prayer in our own homes. We commend that to you. We trust you'll link into the Bible study online, and that you will then join as an individual or with your family at home in prayer to seek the Lord's face. Thursday evening at 7:30, committee meeting will be held on Zoom. The link will be sent out beforehand to all members of church committee. Friday at 8 p.m., our youth fellowship on Zoom. The speaker this week is our brother Kyle Boyd, and he will be speaking to the young people on Zoom. We encourage all youth to join us this Friday. The link again will be sent out beforehand. We encourage parents to encourage their young people to join in to this Zoom Youth Fellowship meeting. It's been a blessing to many. And we trust that you will encourage young people yourselves, that you will, if you haven't already joined in, that you will seek to join in this week, and you'll be most welcome to do so. This coming Saturday, there'll be special seasons of prayer on Zoom from 10 to 11:30 and from 2 to 3:30. The morning time or the afternoon, you can join in to either or to both, and you can register, and that registration will be available as it comes near the time. I trust you will join in if you can't even get on Zoom, but you can meet in your own home and you can seek the Lord and call upon the Lord for divine intervention in these trying times in which we live. Next Lord's Day at 11:30 and 7, we'll bring the Word of God again by this means, and we trust you'll be able to join with us then. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. Especially remember our sister, Mrs. Isabel Gilmer, who's taken into hospital. She's in hospital presently. Do remember her in your prayers. Pray for Mary as she continues to recover from her surgery. The Lord's hand will be upon her. For others going through treatments, procedures in days to come, waiting for results, waiting for appointments, and some even waiting for surgeries, that the Lord's hand will be upon each one at this time. And pray for divine intervention in these serious times in which we live. Do remember our services ongoing on sermon audio and a weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp, and do pray for all of these avenues which the Word of God seeks to go forward. And then tithes and offerings at this point are set aside for the Lord's treasury. Do remember that, please. You can retain them until next we meet, or forward them as has been indicated to either of our treasurers. Do remember this, please. Returning again just to another hymn that we want to read to you at this stage of our service. And we trust again that as we think about this hymn and the words of it, that it will be written upon our hearts. Face to Face with Christ My Saviour. It's 598 on page 417 of the hymn book. Face to face with Christ My Saviour. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with the darkling veil between,
But a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in His presence, when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face shall I behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. And we trust that the words of that hymn will be a blessing to your heart. And what a day that will be when those of us who are saved shall see the Lord and be face to face with our blessed Savior and our wonderful Redeemer. Let us bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, as we turn now to Thy precious word, I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight to the subject, Three Reasons for Being a Christian. Three reasons for being a Christian. You'll find my text in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It is a verse that is well known and often quoted. The three divisions of time that are mentioned in this text present to us tonight three good reasons for accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. This expression has to do with Him. And for that reason, it is not only suggestive, but its truth is inspiring. All things about us, as we will realize, are constantly changing. Therefore, to know that He changes not brings great joy to our hearts, even at this moment. It's like another scripture, which is found in Revelation, where He is described as the Alpha and Omega. It would seem from that the alphabet has been exhausted to represent the beauty of His character and the power of His life. A preacher tells of his last visit to the deathbed of one whom he'd led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he sat near her bedside, he asked her hope for eternity, putting her wasted fingers upon the Bible. She said, "Christ here." And pointing upward, she exclaimed, "And Christ there. Christ here and Christ there." And three times the expression Alpha and Omega is used. And each time it is used with a suggestive force. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 it's used, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." He is the Alpha and Omega of the book. He binds the Word of God together. His story and prophecy and fulfillment run throughout the pages of the Word of God and makes the book one. And then it's used again in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. "And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And He is the Alpha and Omega of the thirsty soul. Drink of this world, and you will and must drink again. Try to quench your thirst with riches, and thirst will be but increased. Try to be satisfied with honor and distinction, and you will cry out, "O wretched man that I am." but drink of the fountain of living water, and you will never thirst again. Remember that woman at the well in John chapter 4? How that the Lord said to her that if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. And that woman drank of the living water of life, and she never thirsted again. And then the third occasion that is used is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And He is the Alpha and Omega of the homecoming. He journeyed with us all the way. When our eyes were blinded by sin, and we do not know that He is near, He is by our side. In sickness and in health, in sunshine and in shade, He is with us. And when the last day's work is done, and life's race is run, and we cross over to the other shore, He is the invisible presence with us, constantly. And there we see Him face to face. My friend, everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is masterful. There was power in His presence. When He appeared, the devils fled away. They were glad to drown themselves in the waters of the sea when the Lord Jesus Christ manifested His presence. There was power in His voice. The waves were rocking. The boat was shaking. And even the trained fishermen were afraid. But at the sound of the matchless voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the waves were hushed, the storm was over, and the sea was calm. There was power in His hand. He had but to touch the sightless eyes with His fingers, lay His hand upon the pain-racked body, stretch forth His arms to a wicked and gainsaying world to bring peace to those that were in distress. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful in every way. And the Scriptures are filled with the story of His miraculous work. Again and again, does devils, disease, and death acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as their conqueror. It is of Him that our text is speaking tonight. He is described as being the same yesterday and today and forever. It's captured in the words of the hymn that we referred to at the commencement of the service. And as we look at these words tonight in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, they present to us three reasons for being a Christian. And you will say there are 10,000 reasons for being a Christian. And that is true. But they are summarized, I believe, in these three tonight. And I want to draw your attention to them in the closing moments of our service. First of all, the past. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Your yesterday. And the day before that, and the days reaching back to the beginning of your earthly pilgrimage, present a reason for the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people lose the sight of yesterday, the yesterday of sin, when they talk about reformation. If you've broken God's law, you cannot ignore the fact. If you've spoken unkindly or falsely of another, you cannot let the matter slip and expect that somehow, somewhere, it will be all right. But I'm not speaking about generalities tonight. My message has to do with sin. You see, reformation cannot effect a cure for the trouble with the heart of man that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked must be treated. And no outside application of good resolutions will avail. In the country, an old farmer came by to tell his neighbor that in some unaccountable way the water in the well of his place had been poisoned, and that it would be extremely dangerous for him to drink of it or allow his cattle to drink of it. Now, if the neighbor had informed him that he would sink a new well or build a new pump house and the water would be purified, would that be an acceptable solution? I think not. Soul reformation is not a cure for sin. Doing your best cannot count. For if your best from today should be most admirable, the sin which you have committed is in the past. The law which you have broken was an act of yesterday. And your many sins against God occurred sometime in the past. Reading from today, or reaching from today back into the earlier days of your life's experience, remember that your sin is against God. And certainly reformation could not make provision for that. What man needs is a divinely prepared atonement. The Scripture clearly states that the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6. And again, it plainly declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But do not forget this, my friend. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, he who knew no sin, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Scriptures state also that Christ died for our sins, that Christ died for the ungodly. Then sin is a debt that can't be paid by human effort. But the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt of our sin. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now this did not mean, of course, that she had to receive double punishment, for that would have been unjust. But in the old Jewish days, when one was in debt and gave his note as a promise for payment, he gave it on a perforated piece of parchment and wrote the obligation across the perforation. The debtor took one piece of the parchment, while the creditor took the other. And when the debt was paid, the portion held by the creditor was given to the debtor and nailed to the door as a sign of payment. The debt was paid. Remember, my friend, you are in debt because of your sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ hath taken the handwriting that was against us and hath nailed it to his cross. Colossians 2:14. And so we're free from the law. Oh, happy condition, as the hymn writer penned those words. The best solution of the sin problem is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He dealt with the sin problem on Calvary's cross. He's described in the book of the Revelation as the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins on his own body on the tree. An African prince visiting an African settlement at the St. Louis Exposition. He was clad in citizen's clothes, and the people from Africa appeared in their native costumes. And when this stranger proclaimed himself as a prince, they ridiculed him. However, an aged man said, I can tell whether he is a prince or not, whether he is of royal blood. And so he ran his finger down the back of the man's neck, of the one who claimed to be a prince, and found the scar that was there, the mark of his royalty. And he fell down to reverence and respect the one who was in their midst. My friend, the one who stands before us is the Lamb who has been slain. With scars in his hands and in his feet, in his side, on his blessed brow. He is our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who paid the price for us. The hymn writer again penned those beautiful words. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Oh, will you bow at the Savior's feet tonight? The one who was slain on Calvary's cross for our redemption. Will you trust him tonight? Will you own him as your own and personal Savior? The past. But then I want you to come to the second thought here is the present. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. If we were set free from the penalty of sin and then expected to stand on our own strength, we would fail. But that is not the hope of the Christian, nor is it the doctrine that is taught in the New Testament. We have not only a Redeemer who is now our great High Priest at the right hand of God, seated because his work is finished, but we have the indwelling Christ. A.J. Gordon said, we have a twofold Christian experience. There is life, and there is life more abundant. Regeneration and renewal, conversion and consecration, sonship and communion, righteousness and holiness, peace with God and the peace of God. And we cannot live as we ought except we are united to Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without him as the way, there is nothing but wandering. Without him as the truth, there is nothing but error. Without him as the life, there is nothing but death. And such a life as this is possible if we are united to Christ by faith. Are you united to Christ by faith? If you come to him and trusted in him as your own and personal Savior. A man purchased a grandfather clock. And he took it to his home in the country and he set it up and started the pendulum going. And the family sat with gaze looking upon it. It swung for a time, but then it stopped. He tried and he failed. The household were left disappointed. When he came down in the morning, his son was examining the mechanism. And he found behind the face there was a little hook which should have been slipped into the pendulum rod. And when he did this and started the pendulum, then it began to work perfectly and run smoothly. You see, human life will last but for a little while. But the life that is united to Christ will move on with ever-increasing beauty and power. There are times when men must be like Christ. And these times are before us. These are days of sham and graft, days of greed and awful sin. Nothing will count except being like him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing him, trusting in him, resting in Christ. Are you resting in Christ tonight? Are you united to Christ? Are you linked to the Lord Jesus Christ? How important that is. A Japanese colonel was captured within the Russian lines, was condemned to be shot as a spy. He took from his pocket a large roll of bills and asked that they might be given to the Russian Red Cross Society, saying in explanation, I am a Christian. And I wish thus to follow Christ in forgiving mine enemies. The missionary barely escaped the blow of a club that was designed to crush his skull. Kill the coward, Tear him to pieces, cried the multitude. But the missionary protected his would-be murderer. Brother, he said, Christ has taught me to love my enemies. And he made the man and all that beheld friends of righteousness, as no severity could have done. The Lord Jesus Christ, even on the cross, when he was put to shame on that tree, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Reverend Thomas Waugh of Liverpool lost his eldest son in a railway accident, for which the signal man was to blame. Broken-hearted as he was, and crushed by the depths of his sorrow, he found time to write a sympathetic letter to that stricken signal man. My friend, there is forgiveness beyond any forgiveness that man can offer. There is forgiveness with the Lord tonight. Forgiveness of every sin that you've committed, past, present, and future. Forgiveness with Christ. Oh, that you might turn to Him tonight. Oh, that you might trust Him as your own and personal Savior and know Him. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the past, today, the present. But then I want you to think about the third thing, the prospect. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Third reason for being a Christian is found in His future. This last reason has to do with eternity. And my friends, tonight we cannot realize the duration of eternity. Someone wrote these words, how long sometimes a day appears, and weeks, how long are they? Months move as if the years would never pass away. But days and weeks are passing by, and soon must all be gone, for day by day, as moments fly, eternity comes on. Days, months, and years must have an end. Eternity has none. It will always have as long to spend as when it first begun. Eternity. Eternity. The length of eternity. We cannot measure it. Cannot be measured. And we would not be careless if we realized eternity. If we understood that there is but a single heartbeat between us and the future tonight. A heartbeat between us and eternity. And as we come today to die, we shall enter into an unending eternity. 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 How long art thou eternity? A little bird with fretting beak might wear to naught the loftiest peak. Though but a thousand years it came, yet thou went then as now the same. Ponder, O man, eternity. Ponder it tonight. And there are two experiences for us, either of which we may have as we pass out of this world. There is darkness. Darkness. Darkness without Christ. Darkness without hope. What misery. What eternal misery for the soul that dies without Christ. For the man or woman or young person who goes out into eternity without Christ. There is darkness. And my friend, that darkness awaits you tonight who are not saved. Then there is doom. For the Bible tells us in Revelation 20 that the book shall be opened. Another book is opened, which is the book of life, and the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. He will stand and face the great judge of all the earth. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life
was cast into the lake of fire. Darkness and doom.
Back in the day, a gentleman driving a spirited team of horses, he lost control of the team. And as they were dashing through the streets, a distinguished judge, he sprang out, he caught the bridle reins, and at the risk of his own life, he saved the man from death.
A man who was driving the horses.
Sometime later, the same man was on trial for his life before that judge who had rescued him. And when the trial was over, the lawyers had made their pleas, and then the judge addressed him saying, "Have you anything to say? Why sentence should not be pronounced upon you?" The prisoner tremblingly arose and said, "Your Honor, don't you know me? Don't you know I am the man you saved? Have mercy." The judge replied, "I do remember. But then I was your Savior. But today I am your judge and must pass sentence. If you have sinned against the Savior of men, one day you must face him in judgment. And the Bible tells you and me tonight, it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment." Then, of course, there is the land of light, the place of many mansions. John chapter 14 speaks of that. And the thought of a mansion is that of beauty. It's also that of reunion. There are streets of gold, and the thought of gold is purity, and only the pure in heart shall walk the streets of gold, for not that defileth shall enter into heaven. There are gates of pearl, and the thought of pearl is suffering. And it is through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can enter in to that beautiful city of God. Then there's the presence of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. What a place heaven is. What a prospect this is in the future for all who know the Lord Jesus Christ and all who trust in him as their own and personal Savior. The light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. The fullness of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my friend tonight, what joy there is. What joy there is in heaven. No text could describe the glory of that city. A little blind boy who received his sight by an operation of a skillful physician. And when the last bandage had been removed, and he saw his mother's face, and then looked upon the beauties of nature, he exclaimed, "Oh, mother, why didn't you tell me of this beauty?" And she replied, "I did try, my son, but I failed." And you know, it is so with us concerning heaven. We can never fully explain the beauties and the glories and how majestic and magnificent heaven is. And God has a plan for our lives. It includes the future. And if we do not take it into account, we shall be most miserable. It is best described in Ephesians 1 and 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. The glory of the sun in its shining. The glory of the diamond is in its brilliancy. The glory of the song is in its sweetness. But the glory of God ought to be in yourself as redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's further described in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." What an inheritance. Ephesians 2, 7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And my dear friends, God's plan does not end with death or with the coming of Christ. What blessing awaits us in the glories of heaven, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, like that hymn we were referring to earlier. before we came to the message. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? And with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. But what a fearful prospect tomorrow holds for those without Christ. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And tonight, dear friend, as you listen to God's word, tomorrow may be eternity just hidden from your view. For those who have not accepted Christ and go into the future with no hope, they will remember God's call. They remember the preaching of the Word of God and the prayers of the saints of God and the appeals that were made to their conscience. But this memory will profit them nothing. Oh, what an awful thing to face the unknown, the uncertain tomorrow, without Christ and without hope. But the Christian's deathbed is something beautiful. When C.H. Spurgeon died, they sang at his funeral this sweet hymn, sleep on, beloved, and take thy rest. Lay down thy head upon thy Savior's breast. We love thee well, but Jesus loves the best. Good night. Calm is thy slumber as an infant sleep. But thou shalt wake no more to toil and weep. Thine is a perfect rest, serene and deep. Good night. Until the shadows from this earth are cast, until He gathers in His home at last, until the twilight gloom is overpast, good night. Only good night, beloved, not farewell. A little while, and all His saints shall dwell in hallowed union, indivisible. Good night. Until we meet again before His throne, clothed in the spotless robe He gives His own. Until we know even as we are known. Good night. And you know, it's only good night for the child of God at their death. We're going to meet them in the morning, those of us who are saved, on the eternal shore. Oh, that your last hours might be like Spurgeon's. And like other saints of God who have died in Christ, have had the Savior with them, knowing what it is to trust in Him, to believe and to be saved. My friend, what reasons are these for being a Christian? Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, the past, dealing with the past of our sins, the present, the prospect. Oh, make sure tonight you're in Christ. Before you close your eyes and sleep tonight, will you close with Christ? Before you step out from this life into an unending eternity, you will trust in Christ tonight and be saved. Look to Him. Know His salvation. Experience His wonderful mercy. May God help you to come. Come tonight. Let us bow our heads in prayer. And as you do so in your home tonight, as you listen and have listened to God's word, will you come to Christ? Will you become a Christian tonight? You say in the words of that old hymn, I am coming, Lord. Coming now to Thee. Make that your prayer tonight. Just as I am without one plea, that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come tonight? Just as you are, just where you are. Just bow your head and cry to God for salvation. May you experience that tonight. May God help you to come. And if you need further help, do please text or call us. Contact us in some way. Glad to help you and point you to the One who can meet your need from God's precious Word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask of Thee tonight that Thou wilt work in hearts. O God, we pray tonight that Thou wilt speak, Lord, to those that know Thee not, And we pray that tonight there will be those who have heard the message that will come to Christ and trust only in His precious blood and be saved tonight and know His wonderful salvation. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for listening to our service here at Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church tonight. May God bless you all.